Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was Edwin Starr, Function at the Junction. Hope everybody's experiencing a good Friday, because I am. Well, let's see what's been going on this week. A lot of things been going on this week. Nothing that I can't handle. I've been really busy on a project that you guys will hear about a little later on, at least before the summer ends. And I'm also going to be working on a couple of more projects, but it's no secret. Let's see. Today was a good day here. It rained a little bit, but it still was a good day because I woke up in it. Every day is a good day for me, whether it's rain, sleet, snow, shine, whatever. Every day is a good day. With that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Rhea.
Hi.
Hey, how are you, darling?
I'm good.
Good. We have an exciting show tonight.
Looking forward to it always.
Yes, yes. It's two ladies that are from D.C., my hometown. Rah, 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 rah. Yeah, D.C., go D.C. I'm going to introduce these two ladies. The first one's name is Nicole Worsley. And she's a native Washingtonian whose family roots and ties are deep in the Washington, D.C. community. She comes from a family of entrepreneurs who strongly believe in making your mark on history. Nicole's background includes photojournalism, writing poetry, and business. She's a graduate of Calvin Coolidge High School in D.C. and the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. She has also completed additional training, including classes and seminars at the Los Angeles Screenwriting Expo. The next young lady is Linda Proctor. She's also of Washington, D.C., has a background in writing, graphics, and social and healthcare marketing. She attended D.C. Public Schools and is a graduate of Calvin Coolidge High School. She attended the University of the District of Columbia and the USDA Graduate School, where she studied journalism. Her background includes writing, film editing, and web design. She has also completed additional training, including classes and seminars at the Los Angeles Screenwriting Expo. Nicole and Linda grew up together in Northeast Washington, D.C. They were the founders of several community entertainment groups that included dance and fashion modeling. Who knew that what they did for fun and entertainment was preparing them for the journey of a lifetime? And to think it all started with a vision. It's good when you have a vision and you can materialize, because I have a vision as well that is materializing. So that's a good thing. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in these young ladies. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi.
Hi. How you girls doing?
Hi. We're good.
Good. Okay, let's hear a little bit about your childhood. You know, do you have any siblings, or, you know, where'd you live at, and till we get to this point?
Okay. I'm Nicole Worsley, and I have two brothers, one sister. Grew up in Riggs Park area, D.C. area, Northeast.
Okay, and this is Linda, and I had three brothers. They're all deceased now, but we all grew up in Riggs Park. Nicole and I actually grew up about, what, four doors down from each other?
Right.
Yeah, we've known each other practically all our lives.
Wow.
So down the street and play together. And we went to school together, and we've just we've always been kind of like play cousins. Everybody thinks we're related anyway.
Mm-hmm. So you've been a lifetime practically, you and Linda.
Yes. We sure have.
So how did you actually meet, you know, living four doors down from each other?
Probably just outside playing around with the rest of the kids in the neighborhood. And we've just always been good friends since, I don't know, since we were what, maybe?
About five.
Yeah, about 5 years old.
Oh, my goodness, that is beautiful.
We go way back.
I see.
Not that we're that old, but we go way back.
Do either of you have children?
I have four children.
Mm-hmm. And who is that?
One of which is an actress. She's out in L.A. I have another daughter who is a singer. She's in Florida. And another daughter who's an interior designer. She's also in Florida. And then I have a son who is into auto mechanics, and he's a aspiring rap artist.
Oh, okay. Is this Linda or Nicole speaking?
I'm sorry. This is Linda speaking.
Oh, okay. Wow, so you got a busy family going on there as well. And you said you have a daughter that's in L.A. that's an actor?
Yeah, she's an actress in L.A., Lynette Tichelle.
Oh, okay. Well, has she been in any movies or anything? Or
she hasn't done any movies yet. She's been getting some commercial work, and she's done a few films as far as student films and some promotional things. So she's out there trying to find her way and make it happen.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, Nicole, do you have children?
No, but I'm a godparent to 11-year-old Troy. Hey, Troy, if you're still up. he's my little cousin, but I'm the godparent.
Okay. Okay. So, now, Stacey, y'all have your hands in quite a few things here, but when did you get the vision to even start this program, Homegrown Entertainment? Where did that come from?
About 2007, Linda and I, we've always been into, I guess, writing, TV, film, poetry, and we found out that we had the same interests. So that's when DC Homegrown was, you know, collaborated in 2007. We got together, and we've been doing it ever since.
Okay, can you explain to the listening audience just what you guys do in that Homegrown Entertainment?
Okay. Well, we are screenwriters, poets, and producers that live in the D.C. area. Like I said, we started in 2007, and I guess we just saw a lot of TV and film programming that we didn't like or agree with, so we said we're going to do our own thing. So that's how we got started.
Mm-hmm. So do you have anything that's been publicized on television, or how are you going with that? Because you said there were things that you saw that you didn't like. How did you come about, or, you know, how are you going to change that?
We haven't actually gotten anything on commercial television yet. We're still working toward that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've been doing is basically just working on the actual craft of film producing and screenwriting,
mm-hmm.
because that's one of those things that it's not some people tend to think it's a real easy thing to do, but it really isn't. So
mm-hmm.
we've been working, trying to hone our craft and get it to the point where we really can sell it to Hollywood. So we have gone out for a few of what's called pitch sessions, where you get an opportunity to go and pitch your ideas to a variety of producers and
mm-hmm.
see if they'll be interested enough to want to buy it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've gone a few times, we've tried, and, you know, we did get some interest one time, but then it turned out that it wasn't exactly the project that that particular producer was looking for. So we just continue to work on it and try to perfect it, and we feel confident that we have projects that are worth putting on television and films, so we're going to keep pushing until we actually get through that barrier.
Mm-hmm. Now, these projects, are they reality shows, or what are they? What are the projects that you're trying to get on the television?
We've developed a couple of scripts for a sitcom. We have a script that we've completed for a feature film, which is also a family comedy, and
mm-hmm.
we have a script for a drama. So all of those are completed scripts that we've been trying to shop around and get some interest on. And then we're also working on a stage play that we want to try to produce sometime in 2013. So
mm-hmm.
we're trying to, you know, spread our wings and try a little bit of everything, from television, cable, film, stage. We're going to do it all.
All right. You can find our completed projects, dchomegrown.com. Just take a look at our website. And, matter of fact, Linda, she put the website together.
I saw there's a little film on there, a five-minute film. I think it's a little comedy.
The audition.
Yeah, the audition. Yeah, that was
right.
That was really cute.
Yeah, the young lady in the red, that's her daughter, Lynette.
Oh, okay. So that's Linda's daughter.
Yes, right, the one that's in L.A. And we produced this for On the Lot. The competition for Fox. It was a five-minute
mm-hmm.
short comedy. So, and also the little fella in the beginning with the clapper, that's my little cousin, Troy.
Oh, okay. Now, just how long did it take you guys to put that together? I know it's only 5 minutes, but how long did it take for you to actually get it together?
That was probably about a two-week project.
I would say so. Linda, she wrote the script on that, and we put it together some collaboration with some other people. And about 2 weeks, yes, I would say about 2 weeks.
You know, we shot it all in one day, but then it took us about a week and a half to finish all the editing.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it actually take you to write the script?
I guess we wrote that script in about maybe 2 to 3 days.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Wow. So, let's see. Now, you also are a poet. Who's the poet, both of you or just you, Linda?
Oh, we both write a lot of poetry. Nicole's
really
the poet. I like to write a lot of poetry as well. And that
mm-hmm.
was another thing we found that we had in common over the years. So we both decided that we wanted to do something with the poetry that we write. So
mm-hmm.
the stage play that we're working on actually incorporates some of that poetry.
Wow, you guys should have been twins, and you had the same interest. That's really good, though, you know, because when you come together like that, it's more easier to work, don't you think? Opposed to you getting somebody who you have to find that has the same interests and, you know, having them to adapt to how you feel and you're adapting to how they feel. So how do you guys feel about that?
It definitely makes it a lot easier when we have that level of synergy between us because we both have the same goal and we usually, in so many ways, we think alike. We can watch something on television and she'll call me or I'll call her and say, did you see that craziness? You know, that would have been a lot better if they had have done, you know, this or that. And then we'll get an idea for some whole new show. And one of us will say, okay, are you writing? And I'll say, okay, let me get my laptop. I'm writing. Or she'll say, well, let me get my tablet because I type, she writes. So I'm like, okay, I need my laptop. She needs her tablet. And we'll make some notes and say, okay, let's put it on the list. Because we have so many other ideas that we want to work on, so we have to get a strategy and figure out what's next so that we're not just all over the place.
So do you have books out or anything?
No, that's the one area that we really haven't gotten into, although I did years ago. I put together a draft for a children's book that I actually wrote for my children when they were younger, and I just never got around to working on getting it published. And I thought about it, and I decided to kind of gear more toward the TV and film. But I might end up doing that.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for the reminder.
As you all are shopping your different projects around, what kind of feedback are you receiving?
Interesting enough, one of the producers that we had pitched one of our projects, and it was called, the name of the project is Grandma Was a Gangster, and it's a feature film. It's a comedy, a family comedy, and we had gone to a producer who we knew was looking for family-oriented comedy, and it was really funny because the producer automatically assumed, because we are African-American, that this movie was geared or about African-American characters, and we never said that. Nor does the movie necessarily read that way, but that was the assumption he made. So he said, I got to be honest, I think you should go to Tyler Perry or somebody like that because our company, and this is what he said, our company is whiter than a loaf of Wonder Bread.
So wow.
He said, thank you for
good
your
trend.
Feedback.
We don't know if that was positive or negative. We weren't sure on that one.
He said he liked the company.
And this was a white producer.
Shop it to Tyler Perry.
Wow.
So I assumed that this was something that would be a Madea-like type of a comedy, and it really isn't, but that was his assumption.
So he never even saw it or anything like that? He just read the script on it?
No, it was just a pitch. We pitched it to him.
Oh, you just pitched it. Oh.
Right.
Wow.
So you're going to give a log and just a brief description of what it's about, and that's what he thought, yeah. But we're going to keep pushing on.
That is really something. Wow.
I thought
well,
it was
I guess.
But, you know, that's okay. We don't let that kind of stuff discourage us.
Yeah, because I
but
guess I, there I is.
I think the positive thing that we took from that is it made us go back and look at our characters and determine whether or not these characters come across as black. Because we wanted to just make them look like three people, three women that happen to be over the age of 60 without necessarily looking like they're of any particular color. So that if anyone were interested in it, they could make these people any ethnicity that they wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, we did get something positive out of that. It made us go back and reevaluate the characters.
Did you end up changing anything about any of the characters?
Maybe just one. I guess that would be Stella. There's a character in that particular story named Stella that we basically made her, in our mind, she's Cuban African American. But for the purpose of pitching it, we would probably just say she's Latina. So, you know, Latina could be, as far as color-wise, could be any number of colors.
Right.
No, you can take it however you want. And then the other two women in the story could be anything you want them to be.
Okay.
Wow. Well, have you thought about pitching it to Tyler Perry?
Well, we have, yes, but he's not taking any projects. He's only writing and producing and directing his own projects. We've tried, so we just have to try another avenue, either try to him or maybe some other production companies. So we're not giving up in one spot. So.
Right, because there are a lot of black production companies out there, but it's just the point of getting to them. John Singleton, for one. What's the little guy? Who'd you say?
Walter Mosley just started one, too.
Oh, did he?
Yep, I read the email yesterday. I got the email yesterday that Walter Mosley just started a production company.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, we'll make note of that one.
What about Spike Lee? It's quite a few of them out there. Vivica Fox. You know, I guess you would just
There's
have to...
There's a lot of people that have started their own production companies. A lot of actors now started their own production companies. But what we're finding is a lot of them have done that because they have some project that they want to do.
And
to get their own project, they start their own production company. So some of them aren't really looking to take on anybody else's script. They're really working on their own thing.
Well, do you and Linda, do you and Nicole think of maybe starting your own production company?
We would love to. If we had somebody to bankroll it, we would love to.
Mm-hmm.
But that requires a lot of funding. So for now, we're just sticking with what we can actually accomplish.
Right.
You know, we can handle the writing,
mm-hmm.
and we can put that together, and we'll just continue to do that for now and maybe do some short films, things like that, that we can actually do.
Right, because we both have full-time jobs. I work in retail.
Yeah, and I work in the government.
So writing and producing, this is more or less part-time right now.
Right. Well, there are sources. Go on, I'm sorry.
Have any of your plays or anything been put on production locally?
We only have the one play that we're working on, and that's the one that we're actually trying to get a reading put together, hopefully later on this summer.
Okay.
And then based on the feedback from that reading, we're hoping that we'll actually have that play on stage sometime in 2013.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about
That would be our first stage production.
Okay.
And what is this play going to be about?
This play, it's called Sister, Sister, Sister. And basically it's about three sisters that are born in three different decades to the same father, different mothers who don't know each other and don't even know about each other. And when they get word that their father has passed away, they meet each other for the first time at his funeral.
Wow. That sounds interesting. And who thought of that, the both of you?
It was more or less Linda's vision. She's a visionary. We both are, but that was her vision on that particular one.
What? Just come up with a concept about, you know, three sisters in three different decades. And then I think Nicole came up with the idea that they meet at the funeral for the first time. So I kind of came up with the front end. She came up with the back end. And then we kind of met in the middle.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to take some phone calls. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
That's Al Green, Still in Love with You. And we're back with this evening's guests, Nicole Worsley and Linda Proctor. And if you have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I'm going to bring this caller in on the line right now. Area code 202-957. You have a question or comment for Linda or Nicole?
Yes, this is Eric, and I'm good friends with Linda and Nicole, and I'm very proud of them taking forth the effort of making films and doing productions for the diaspora, the African-American diaspora. My question is in regards to elements of theatrics and filmmaking. As a filmmaker myself, I am wondering your strategy for distribution, your distribution strategy in regards to getting your product out there, as well as knowing what elements that you have to arrive at in regards to getting your films made. What type of style are you following in regards to making films? What are you trying to hone in terms of styles of films? And how would you distribute those films once you get your product made?
Okay, well, first, this is Linda. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Linda, how are you?
I'm good. And
good.
To answer your question as far as distribution, I would say that since I know that you are almost a graduate of Howard University School of Film, we were hoping to do some collaboration with you on distribution. So, but as far as avenues that we would go for, our next plan was anything that we can put together as far as film. Our next strategy was going to be to start looking at some of the film festivals and submit things to the film festivals and see if we can go that route and try to win some of them and get some accolades that way, and then try to build on that to see if we can go from film festival and then take it to the next level, and possibly even do some screenings here in the D.C. area, do some private screenings. We could also go that route.
Okay, very well.
So I'm hoping that you can help us out as well with that distribution. You know,
okay, well, there's a lot of avenue to take in regards to distribution. Doing your own work and then putting it out. There's a lot of funding available to get your funding. You, as an independent filmmaker, you can produce your film, and it's always good to have a product ready when you go pitch. When you pitch your film, at least have a trailer or something to show when you try to get your film distributed. Make sure you have some type of product ready. So you go to producers and people that's going to fund, finance your film. You have your whole business plan, everything together, so that for they know that you're serious.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah, we learned that even with the trying to pitch a script. We found out that it wasn't enough just to have a great idea and a great log line and even a great concept, but we needed to make sure we even had the script ready so that if somebody said, okay, that sounds good, send me the script, we needed to make sure we even had it right there in our hand so we could hit them with it, bam, or we could say, okay, give me your card and we'll email it to you the following day. So, you know, those are all the things that we've learned along the way to make sure, like you just said, Eric, that you got to have all your stuff ready, all the promotional pieces, like with the script. We even developed, like, postcards and things to promote the movie if they were to go with it and produce the movie, just to give them some visuals to say, okay, if you go with it, here's some ideas. Of course, you know, they do what they want, but just to give them some things to think about.
And also, don't pitch your stuff without it being copywritten. Always have everything copywritten, and because somebody take your idea and move on with it, next thing you know, you turn on the TV and you see you see an idea of your film being made, like, wow, I just pitched that. So never pitch of them signing.
We don't
type.
See that.
When you go pitch, make sign some type of document saying, you know, this is yours. Because people will then grab it and run away with it.
That's true. Yeah, we've made sure that all the scripts that we've completed so far, not only are they copyright protected, but they're also registered with the Writers Guild America East.
Mm.
So they have a WGA number as well as the copyright.
Okay.
No, you don't have to have both. We wanted to make sure that we're doubly protected.
Okay. Well, good luck to you both, and hopefully everything will work out. And I'm here for you. When you need me, I'm here. You just call.
Thank you. Thank you, darling.
And you missed my screening.
I know.
You got to see it. It's a wonderful film.
I will see the film. Thank you.
Good luck to you, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, caller 111.
His company is Over the Hump Productions out of Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
So he's doing his thing also in film. We try to work together. You know, all of us that are trying to all do the same thing, it's no sense in us working separately.
Right, and he has a film out already?
He's working on, what is he working on, his master's now?
Right.
He's working on his master's degree at Howard School of Film.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had a screening on
Wednesday.
This is for his doctorate. I think it's part of his completing his degree, his thesis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next caller, 111111. Are you there? You have a question or comment for Linda or Nicole?
Hello?
Linda
or Nicole?
Yes, do you have a question or comment for Linda or Nicole?
Yes, it's Regina.
How you doing, Regina?
Hey,
Regina.
But you know what? I'm like Linda, and I'm like Nicole. My brain got a little frozen. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Hi, guys.
Hi, sweetie.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited. I was listening to you guys on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
You know what? It's
This is my cousin Regina Hall.
Oh, hey, Regina.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, me and my co-host, Rhea.
Yeah, I am. I'm so excited. And I just, you know what? I'm like, I was going to ask you, are you all going to have anything where you're going to try and make and put into, like, Urban World or some of the festivals? We have a big Latino film festival out here that's, like, starting in May, which I don't know if you all ever thought about, casting, doing movies where you can actually enter those as well. Because it feels like the film festival route, and the reason I'm saying it is because I know a lot of people who have done, I have a friend who did a really small movie, it was a faith-based movie for $150,000, and he actually got distribution, and it's going to be in some theaters. Yeah, and what he did was he took up, someone came to him, but they got a guy who, they went to a gospel label, and the guy, they ended up, the guy who the gospel label was releasing, they did a movie based on the sound, kind of like a Purple Rain kind of thing. And then the record label got behind it because they were able to know they would get their following, get their audience, and have a soundtrack and a movie. Just stuff to think about.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I hadn't thought about it. Well, I didn't think about it. I don't know why I'm lying right now. But when
I saw... Is that the one with Deidre
had it? Hi, honey.
Is that the one with Deidre had it?
Yes.
Yes, they were talking about it on the radio today.
Yeah, and I went to the screening last night. And, you know, they really did it. They did they had a small budget, and I'm sure they kept that in mind. But mm-hmm. there really was an album budget, and they just decided, well, you know what, maybe we should just go ahead and do we could do both. And they split the budget. But, you know, that's something you guys could do. You could still show your writing. And if you wrote it, you could make it simplistic and maybe go to, you know, people who have their, who have artists on labels and say, And that could be a way to raise money, and you still have, you know, and have an audience by the time you release the movie.
Absolutely, because that would give you a built-in audience.
That would give you a built-in audience, and then you know you're going to get that kind of built-in promotion because, you know, they're going to circulate it in the faith audience and in the black audience.
That's true.
See, that's why they pay you the big bucks. You are always
I'm not gonna hold y'all on the hold because you have other callers. But I just wanted to say hi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. And you know we've gone to see that movie more than once, and we're waiting to see it.
Oh, you know what is so funny because I got Pooji's text. I'm sorry. I got Nicole's text.
Sorry, sweetie.
I was so happy. I was like, oh, they went in a group. And then today I got your text this morning, and I was like, oh, and I'm so glad you sent it again, because the truth is my brain was like 11 o'clock, because in L.A., but then it would have been, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning there. And then I looked, and I was like, oh, let me call the girl.
Okay. Thank you
and
so much.
And I'm so excited.
Well, we appreciate it. And again,
right.
Congratulations on Think Like a Man. We are still loving it on the East Coast.
Oh, thank y'all so much for going to see it. And now y'all keep it up so I can go see yours.
Okay, great.
We will let you know.
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you back. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let me ask you girl something. Would you still pitch your works to white producers since what had happened to you the last time, or you just take that as an isolated incident?
Isolated incident?
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. I mean, when we're writing, it's, you know, we're writing no color. But if a particular production company wants us to narrow on you know, the color or anything like that, sure, we can do that.
Okay. And do you have workshops and do you hold seminars as far as your company is concerned?
No, not at this time, no. We're just working hard at our craft, trying to develop our craft more and just trying to get a script sold right now. So if there are any literary agents out there, we're looking for one. They can go on our website, dchomegrown.com.
Okay, all you literary agents out there listening, you heard her, and it's on the chat page. That's DC
Homegrown.
Yeah, that's
the main thing that we need right now is that in order to get a meeting with a lot of these producers when you're not doing, like, those open pitch sessions, but to get a one-on-one with these producers, they won't really even set an appointment with you unless it comes through an agent. And the agents won't represent you unless you sold something. But you can't sell something if you don't have an agent. So it's kind of a circular problem. So, you know, we've been trying to, until we get an agent, we just try to do, like, the general pitch fest thing, because that does allow you, in those pitch fests, you get 5 minutes with whatever producer you make an appointment with. And, you know, 5 minutes isn't a long time, but when you think of what people call the elevator pitch, you know, you typically only need maybe, 2 to 3 minutes to either get somebody's interest in what you're talking about, or they're not going to be interested in it anyway. So 5 minutes is enough time. You know, either they're going to buy or they're not.
That is true.
In those pitch fests, they usually tell you in advance which companies are going to be there. So then you go and do your research and find out which companies will be represented, and what kind of films they normally produce or maybe what they're looking for, and then you look to see who matches with what you have to offer. So that way you're not, you know, barking up the wrong tree. You make sure you talk to someone who's looking for what you have to offer.
So just how do you get in touch with these producers? Is there a pardon?
Well, if you were trying to, like, say, for example, if you had an agent, there are different directories that you can purchase online that gives you all of that information. Some of that information you can actually find it online for free, but you may not be able to get a specific name. Things like the IMDb, what does that stand for? The Internet Movie Directory Database. imdb.com. Right. There's a lot of information on there, not just about films and television shows, but you can find some information about producers as far as, like, companies. But to get the specific information, you probably would have to buy some of the directories to get that level of detail. But like I said, if you don't have someone that represents you, even if you had like an entertainment attorney, which we do have, but people still tend to respond better to an agent than they do to an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can try to go that route, or you can look around and find these different pitch fests. People have them at different kinds of conferences or different types of some of these different script festivals. There's all kinds of things that happen year-round all over the country. And you just have to look around, look online, and you can find that information. We have some of those resources on our webpage, on the resource page at dchomegrown.com, if anyone is looking to get into this industry and just looking for some guidance. So, I mean, it's not, you know, necessarily the easiest thing to do, but it's what we're driven to do. And
right,
I think
it's your passion.
It is. It's
our
passion.
That's it.
I feel like anything you can do all day and all night and still not be tired of it, it must be your passion.
That's true. That is the truth, because I love to read and I love to write, so I could do that all day and all night. We have another call I'm going to bring in. 609-553, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question or comment for Linda and Nicole?
Yes, my name is Ron. I'm close personal friends with Nicole and Linda. I'd like to say hello to y'all first and foremost.
Hey, Ron.
How are y'all? My question to y'all is, have you guys considered any voluntary help or internship help? So, being you guys are starting things off, everybody needs a start, as well as you developing a team. And I'm sure Tyler Perry has developed a team. Politicians develop a team when it comes to political races, people to do campaign stuff, whether they're hanging posters or making phone calls. But to put a volunteer base or an accredited internship where people can go to your group as an internship while they're in college, and you talk to the universities to get credits for them for doing such. And I think that would be a very interesting thing to put in effect.
Thank you, Ron. That's excellent.
Yeah, that is a great idea. I wish I'd have thought of that one.
Well,
yeah, we
can you can use it. It's not copyrighted, so you can use it.
Thank you.
I'll check out the local colleges and work on getting you know, some students as far as interns. That's a great idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially over the summer when they're out of school. And see if they'll let them, you know, earn some credits or something to help out. That would be great.
Right, especially Howard, the film school.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you look at some of Tyler Perry's early plays, some of the same cast members were in there over and over again, and I'm sure that before he kind of came into the financial stability that he has, I'm sure people did it for a nickel and a song, so to speak, and once things come along, just like when somebody's elected president, they choose different people for the cabinet and who's going to work this job and that job and so on and so forth. So maybe that may be a way for you to round up some people, some members, some membership, things of that nature, and I wish you the best with it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are you volunteering?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay,
most definitely.
Great. Put them down. Write them down. Okay.
Yes. Good luck to y'all. Good luck
okay,
and everything,
thank
all
you
your endeavors. All right,
we appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
I am ready for love. Why are you hiding from me? I'd quickly give my freedom to be held in your captivity. just need you to acknowledge I am here.
Are we ready for love? And this evening we're speaking with Nicole Worsley and Linda Proctor. If you have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. And we're getting down to the wire. I want to ask you guys a question. What kind of advice would you give someone who wanted to get in the business that you're in?
I would say probably you really need to study. You definitely want to have some strong writing skills. So if that's not something that you do well, you would want to go take some classes, or if that's something you went to college for, definitely you want to build up your writing skills. And then really, you know, look at taking some courses or workshops or things like that to learn about screenwriting.
Right. You have to know the craft.
Yeah.
You have to know the terminology, like log line, treatment, synopsis. You just have to know the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you'll be lost because they'll just walk all over you, you know.
Yeah.
They'll know that you're not an experienced writer, or this is your first time out, like out the gate, so to speak. So just do your homework. Yeah.
Well, the first time y'all was out first time you guys was out the gate, how did you feel? Did you have the butterfly effect, or were you confident? How did that go?
I think it was a combination.
Yeah, I think
we, you know, we had been at it for about maybe a year, and then we decided to go out to L.A. to this screenwriting expo
in L.A.
So we decided, you know, why not? Let's go see what it's all about, because they had all these workshops for the whole weekend. And you get to hear people that are in the industry that talk on a variety of topics, everything from funding to dialogue for your film, new media. They were talking about, like, now you have all this technology for putting films and commercials on smartphones and, you know, just the way that the technology and the industry is moving. So we listened to all of that information, and then we decided that was our first time going to a pitch fest. So we figured, well, we're here, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to do that, and it was pretty amazing. All these people were there. Some of them were really good writers. Some of them just were there, had ideas, didn't really know what they were doing. But we were all out there pursuing what we wanted to do, and it was a learning experience.
and we had a lot of fun, but that just really kind of whet our appetite, and we decided that this is definitely what we want to do. So we came back to D.C. and decided, okay, now it's time to get serious,
right.
And we're going to learn how to do this and learn how to do it right.
Wow. I know there are different kind of producers, but it's a basic to that, isn't it?
Different kinds of producers?
Pardon?
You say there are different kinds of producers?
Are there different kinds of producers, or just is there just a basic to it, meaning that are they all the same, or if they're not, you know, what's the difference in them?
Well, you have different production companies that are
mm-hmm.
looking for different things, like you might have Bender Spink, or you might have Fox Searchlight, you know, and they look for different things. They may be looking for comedy. One might be looking for drama. But we have found that most of the producers are young producers. They're 25, between 25 and 30. That's who's
mm-hmm.
looking at what's out there now. Most older people really don't go to the movies. It's the younger crowd that goes to the movie and pay the big, you know, pay the money to go to see the movies.
Right.
So the types of things that are out there now, it's totally different from maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Right. Well, we're down to the last 4 minutes. You ladies have any closing remarks? Rhea, you have anything you'd like to ask before we go?
No, it's interesting. They did start me, you know, just to thinking about the process in general and, you know, how one would go about even breaking into something like that. But I was interested, as I asked, in seeing the reception that they received for the things that they had presented.
Okay. So you ladies have any closing remarks? We have 4 minutes, 3 minutes now.
I would just say that if this is something that you want to do or whatever it is that your passion is, you have
mm-hmm.
to be able to accept that sometimes you're going to get no. And you might get no a whole lot of times. And you can't
mm-hmm.
be so thin-skinned that when somebody says, no, that's not what I'm interested in, or no, I don't like it, or whatever they say. If they don't like it and they say no, you can't just feel like, okay, well, that's it. I tried and I quit. You know,
right.
you're going to get a lot of no's before you finally get a yes. So if you
right.
can't take getting no and you can't take the rejection, then this is not the industry for you.
Right.
Okay. Well, did you have anything to say, Nicole?
I was going to say we sent out about 100 query letters. Those
mm-hmm.
are letters just basically giving a brief synopsis of the idea or pitch,
mm-hmm.
send it to lawyers and production houses. We sent 100
mm-hmm.
of those out, and we got one response back, but that's not going to
wow.
stop.
Right, because they say no means another opportunity anyway. So with that being said, I appreciate you ladies coming out. I wish you the best in your endeavors, and, you know, maybe I'll be coming to see one of you guys' movies on the big screen.
Okay.
Oh, for sure. It's a matter of time.
So,
yeah.
Everybody check out our website, dchomegrown.com. Look at our completed projects and just find out what we're all about.
Right. It's in the chat room. So, everybody go to dchomegrown.com and check out Linda and Nicole's website. And any agents out there, get in touch with them. And with that being said, everybody have a good night. Rhea, you have a good night and a beautiful weekend. See you guys next week. Oh, next week's show we're going to have on Andrea Clinton, who's the niece of George Clinton. So that's going to be an interesting show. That's next Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Delicious Talk. Everybody have a beautiful weekend.
Okay.
You
thank
too.
You, ladies.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Well, if leaving causes grieving and you're packing, break your heart, tell me. Good night, everybody.